You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar, the better tasting, more refreshing Zero Sugar Cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.
Winter is here, and if your furnace isn't keeping up, don't worry. Care Heating and Cooling has you covered. Our expert technicians are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. That means when Care shows up, we're there to solve the problem, not to push a sale. With 30 years of award-winning, trusted service, you can count on Care to keep your home warm and comfortable. Call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or schedule an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
From the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, this is Formula One!
It's the most spectacular race of the season.
F1 cars on the streets of Las Vegas.
This is the last real corner on the racetrack. Charles Leclerc's going for it to the inside. What a move, Charles Leclerc! Absolutely brilliant!
Speeding round the sphere, flying past the fountains, cars race past casinos and hotels in a high-speed fight night under the lights. It's F1 turned up to 100, and it happens on the city streets.
We have come to Las Vegas to find out how it happens, how, for one weekend, F1 transforms and takes over one of the busiest cities in the world. Welcome to F1 Explains, the Las Vegas Grand Prix.
This is the podcast which answers your questions about F1. I am Christian Hugill and I am sitting in Grand Prix Plaza in Las Vegas with my good friend Katie Osborne.
I'm so glad to be here with you, Christian. We usually call this the F1 paddock. It's the center of the F1 universe, the traveling circus which visits 24 racetracks in 21 countries around the world. But in Las Vegas, it is very different from the other races on the calendar. We're racing on the city streets, Christian, public roads in the middle of one of the busiest cities on Earth.
Yeah, Formula One races in several city centers around the world. Monaco, Baku in Azerbaijan, Singapore. But for those races, the race is pretty much the only show in town. The city kind of stops while the racing is on. But this is Vegas, the city that never stops, never
sleeps.
Great minds, Katie Osborne, and still has to function as a city during the race weekend. People still need to get to the grand hotel rooms that dominate the strip, their shows, their jobs. So the organisers have to be able to open the roads back up again when the F1 action isn't happening. And the track has to be up to F1 standard too. It needs to be fit for racing and, most importantly, safe. That is a big challenge when racing on public roads.
And all of that takes months of work from a huge team of people. We're talking like 15,000 people, in fact. So we're going to find out about all the work that goes into making it happen and answer some of your questions that you've sent to F1 Explains at F1.com. We're going to get the answers from Sylvia Bello. Sylvia is the Vice President of Sporting and Race Operations here at the Las Vegas Grand Prix. Christian went out on the track to meet her.
Sylvia, welcome to F1 Explained. It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And what a place to be. Just explain where we're standing.
So we are almost at turn one here at Las Vegas Strip Circuit. We are actually located at Grand Prix Plaza, which is the private property and the home of the F1 here in Las Vegas, but also in US. And a few meters after us, that we're going to have the public roads where Las Vegas Grand Prix is going to take place.
Formula One is racing right here in the very center of Las Vegas. We can see the MGM Grand Hotel over to our right. Behind us, we can see the Sphere, the Platinum Hotel, the Big Wheel. We couldn't be any more central in Las Vegas. And I imagine the logistical challenges of bringing Formula One here and making this race happen are quite large.
That's absolutely correct. As you know, Vegas is one of the busiest cities in the world, especially at night. And specifically, Las Vegas Strip or Las Vegas Boulevard is one of the crowdest ones. So as you can imagine, the operational and logistical challenges here are very big. In addition, our track is located 80% on public roads and 20% in private areas. One of those is here, Grand Prix Plaza, as I already mentioned. The second private area is the Sphere Zone that you just pointed a second ago. The rest of the track is all in public roads, as I already mentioned.
And it's important to point out, isn't it, for people who might be new to Formula One and new to the Las Vegas Grand Prix, as we've just mentioned, we're right in the centre. We're not out in the middle of the desert. You can see some of the desert hills from a different part of the circuit, but we are bang central Las Vegas.
That's correct. We are downtown here in Las Vegas, in one of the busiest streets. For those who have been the chance to come here to the city, one of the crowdest areas of Las Vegas Strip circuit is, as you can imagine, from Wynn to Cosmopolitan, from turn 12 to turn 14, 15 on the racetrack. And that's some of the logistical challenges that we've got here in Las Vegas Grand Prix, having to also accommodate for the people who are visiting, for people who are working here in Vegas. And I'm sure that we will touch this in a minute, but we have to do very big, challenging operations every day in order to close the track so the F1 cars can get around and make all our fans enjoy the Las Vegas streets.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. How long does it take to build this world-class motor racing facility in the middle of Las Vegas?
So on our second year, we started the construction around the public roads with track lighting. Track lighting are the first elements that we are actually building here around the track. And we started in September, beginning of September. A bit later, we started here in the paddock, which is a private property. But from September, today was the first time that we closed the track for the first time. This morning, it was 6 a.m. when we finished.
And we should say, we're recording this interview on Wednesday early afternoon, and the race takes place Saturday night in Vegas. So we're still a couple of days out, and there's still bits of, you can hear the trucks setting up behind us.
That's correct. As I said, the track remains open until the first time we start closing, which actually is Wednesday, 1 minute past midnight, is when our event permit starts. And we did that this morning. It took us 2 hours to close the entire track. We did the track walk with the FIA. And after the 2 hours walk, then we had to dismantle it again. We were very, very good last night or this morning. It just took us 1.5 hours to dismantle the 42 open that we've got around the track that we have to work on every single day.
And above us, we can see the rigs of lights, and they're impressive in themselves, and they are everywhere because, of course, Las Vegas is one of Formula One's night races. Formula One cars have wonderful technology in them, world-class engineering. They don't have headlights, so this track has to be lit up in a world-class manner. Talk to us about the challenges of putting these rigs up everywhere that we can see next to us.
So that's correct. You can see all these light trusses that go all around the track. Most of them, they are placed at either driver's left or right. We don't have them on both sides, but I'm sure that if you've seen the race from last year, and especially if you've seen the helicopter shots, you can see how bright the track it is. It's almost look like daylight, and it's making our track even more stunning with all the neons that we've got around Las Vegas streets.
But it has to be lit evenly, doesn't it? Because if you get that wrong, then there can be shadows, which can be dangerous on a street circuit if you have shadows where the drivers can't see where they're going.
Yeah, that's correct. FIA has got a very specific guidelines and requirements regarding how these lights have to operate. They've got a certain level of lumens that we have to have around the racetrack in order to, as you said, just to keep the drivers in a safe way. And yeah, that's one of the operations that we have to do here around Las Vegas Grand Prix. There are different types of lighting that the circuits can use. This one that we're using specifically with the light trusses is very helpful for us. It helps us a lot with the cabling operations, given that we have a lot of openings that we have to close every day. So this system is working perfectly for us.
And you've already said, Sylvie, it's a 3.8-mile track. There are more than 1,600 LED light fittings shining down on the track, all arranged evenly, so it's all lit in the right manner, all done by a specialist company. And am I right in thinking it's the same company that also does the lighting for the Singapore Grand Prix and other events?
Yeah, that's correct. So we owned actually the lights that we've got here in Las Vegas Grand Prix. We got them from the company that also does Singapore. The number of lights that you mentioned are just for the track. We've got additional lighting here in the pit building. This is for opening ceremonies, extra lighting on the grandstand just to get a special effects and just making our racetrack pop and make it even more exciting.
So that 1,600 is just the track?
Correct, just for the track.
And the lighting takes about 10 weeks to install, right?
Pretty much that. We're still doing the finishing touches. The trusses is the first thing that we install, and then we do the cabling straight after that. It's a big challenge. For me, I think that lighting is a big challenge, but I think construction with blocks and catch fans, debris fans for the drivers to be protected is even a bigger challenge here in Las Vegas.
I'm glad you've mentioned that, because I was about to come on to this, because the Las Vegas Grand Prix is, of course, a street circuit. What do we have to do in a street circuit where the walls are closed? We have to keep the drivers safe. Talk to us about the track barriers, because even that is a logistical challenge, isn't it?
Yes. One of the challenges here in Las Vegas as well is because, as you mentioned, we are downtown. We cannot close the track for 5 days that it happens in other places. If you go to Jeddah, Miami, they have got the capability to actually close the track at the beginning of the week and then the track remains closed. We don't have that option here in Vegas. We need to accommodate from the casinos and the hotels. So our track actually opens and closes every day in 42 different locations. To give you a few numbers and give you a bit more information, turns 5, turn 12 near Wynn, where Lando had an accident last year, and then turn 14, we build those entire corners every single day. We've moved around 140 concrete blocks and debris fence every single day. We add 8 curbs every day. We've got 5,000 feet of a spectator fence that come behind the concrete barriers that we've got next to us. And we also move tighten almost 250 Tech Pro elements, the single plastic barriers that we've got in certain areas like here behind us at Turn 1.
By every single day, are you having to take them on and off the track again? Is that what you mean by that?
That's correct. And as you can imagine, it's not just grabbing a row of barriers and take them off. You need to take them individually. When actually the track is built, first we build them with the blocks, and then we come and build the debris fence after on top of them. When we do the daily operations, obviously the time is very limited, and we have to move the two elements, concrete barrier and debris fence, all in once with forklifts, heavy equipment, etc.
It's absolutely astounding. And then there are the things that are stretching out in front of us, Sylvia, where we're doing this interview, the fantastic grandstands, which have a real silver shine to them, and the seats, which you won't see on the telly because they're full of fans, obviously, but they're jet black. They look even very cool when there's not fans in them. But the grandstands around the track, this one is at Turn 1, where Max Verstappen took the lead at the start of last year. Then there's over at Turn 2, where Lewis Hamilton went around the outside of Yuki Tsunoda. And fans sitting here in these grandstands can see the sphere in front of us, where Esteban Ocon got Logan Sargeant. This track's got so many overtaking points. In fact, there were more overtakes in the Las Vegas Grand Prix last year, 2023, compared to any other dry race. So the grandstands are purposely put on those overtaking opportunities. And how on earth do you get these in?
The grandstand that we've got just in front of us, this is a temporary grandstand. So that's that building beginning of July this year. And it's a very, very specific and challenging one. We've got a big grandstand behind us. And when you see it from the helicopter shots and also from the TV broadcast, you will see that on top of that grandstand, we also have a VIP hospitality on top of it. So it's not a regular grandstand. We also have a big hospitality structures around the area of Turn 2, Turn 3 and Turn 4. High class type of hospitality here in Las Vegas. And as you said, 180 overtakings we had last year is very, very exciting. I think some of the challenges the drivers also had last year, probably the first one was the temperature.
Yeah, it's cold in the evening.
Yeah, we're saying now that it's warm now with the sun, but as soon as it gets dark at 4 p.m., the temperature drops. We're here in the desert. So that one was one of the challenges. The drivers and F1 is used to to go to warm places, and we don't normally go to very cold places, so that's one of the challenges. And one, the second challenge I would say we'll had here as well last year is the fact that we've got some areas we've got permanent traffic from public vehicles, and then areas like what we're here where there's no much traffic during the year, so that is a change of grip, change of rubber, and that gives us for a very, very and really interesting races here in Las Vegas.
You mentioned that three of the 3.8 miles there are public roads, and they're opened up to regular traffic in the daytime, even when the Grand Prix's on. How does that work?
So every day at 3 p.m., what we do is we work with Metro Police here in Las Vegas. They close the access from the highways. And then after that, we start pulling the traffic, closing the access to the properties here in Las Vegas. And then the traffic goes out. It takes us approximately 2 hours to build the entire track. So by 5 p.m., the track will be fully built. Then we will have the FIA inspection. And hopefully it will be the same as last year when everything was ready to go, and then we will be able to have the races or sessions during the weekend. At the end of the day, we're going to do the opposite procedure. So when around midnight, when the track is clear and the FIA considers that the day is done, then what we will be doing will be dismantling all these 400 blocks that we have to dismantle every night, and it will take us between an hour and a half and 2 hours.
And it's a complex balance, isn't it? Because you've got those elements where you're sort of linking into the surrounding sort of Las Vegas structure, which carries on. You know, this city doesn't stop because F1's here. But then there's also permanent buildings. So over to our right is the pit building, which is unbelievably impressive. You can tell it's new. It's shiny and white and silver, and it looks fantastic. And also the paddock. They don't move, do they? They are a permanent fixture here in Vegas.
That's correct. Our pit building, the one that you've got behind you, is permanent here in our home of F1 here in Las Vegas, in Grand Prix Plaza. These are 330,000 square feet, and this is like three football pitches long for the ones that they love football. That's a reference. It's the biggest building, the biggest paddock club that everyone's got around the calendar. So as you can imagine, the operations around this building, they're also very interesting.
And how long does the paddock take to be built?
So the paddock actually started being built towards the end of September.
Wow.
Grand Prix Plaza, as I said, is a new facility here in Vegas, but we're starting to have a lot of demand to have all the events hosted here all year round. And I'm sure we're going to have a very interesting and exciting news in the next few months regarding new activities that are going to be happening here in Grand Prix Plaza. But as you can imagine, this is a busy area all year round. Starting end of September, we started building the paddock, all the activations. We get the team hospitalities, and we actually get ready to welcome the F1 teams, FIA and F1.
What did F1 learn from the first year? Because obviously it was moving into such uncharted territory. There is no other Formula One race like this in the world. Yes, there are other street circuits. Yes, there are other night races. But the challenges of bringing Formula One and all that entails to Las Vegas must have been huge. Is there anything you were able to pick up and learn going into this year?
Well, there were a few things. The first one, I would say, the impossible sometimes is possible. I mean, when I joined here in Las Vegas in November 22, as I said, this is such a logistical challenge that everybody was questioning. Is it possible? Is this is much more complicated than other racetracks, and we all believe that that was possible. We showed that last year that was possible to have a success here in Las Vegas. And also one of the things I want to highlight is that we won't be able to do this type of operations anywhere else in the world. We're very lucky that we're in the capital. We are in the capital. We've got a very excited fans here behind us.
By what looks like a tour of kids who are chanting. Could you hear what they were chanting?
Yes, I think they were saying, "Let's go, Lewis."
And Let's go, Lewis.
And we've got some kids, some schools that they're part of our community program. They're doing a pit lane walk, and they're getting to get close to the action in the F1 cars.
Guys, say hello to the F1 Explains podcast. Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's so great to see so many F1 fans, young fans, and also one of the most exciting... Hi, guys. One of the most exciting things for me as a woman is to see how the F1 fans are actually... that we've got more F1 fans coming into the sport, and also how the demographic changed. Now, 40% of the fans are women, so it's amazing to be able to see that the next generation is ready, and then we will have F1 and F1 here in Vegas for a long, long time.
It's absolutely incredible. You were saying that Formula One couldn't do quite what it does here anywhere else in the world. Just explain that.
Yeah, Vegas is the capital of the entertainment, as we all know. We've got such experienced companies that help us do all these operations we're doing daily, like opening and closing the track. That couldn't happen anywhere in the world. As you know, last year we had some challenges. This is normal for new tracks. And the capacity of reacting to those, solving the issues, and have an amazing Grand Prix, I think it would have been a big hiccup all the places around the world. Here we'd be able to manage it and deliver such a great show. I'm so, so proud of the team here in Las Vegas Grand Prix, but also of our vendors and partners, because we have a great capacity of reaction and problem solving that I don't think we will be achievable in other places around the world.
And we've talked so much about the setup, but eventually, and it's very sad, eventually we'll all have to go home. And on Saturday night, early hours of Sunday morning, the fans will eventually leave and probably pour into nearby clubs and casinos. And this will all have to be put away again. The dismantling of this must be a whole other operation in itself.
We will start, in fact, straight after the race, we will start in certain areas of the public roads.
You mean straight after the race, don't you? Because this always amazes me with Formula One, and this isn't unique to Vegas. The minute the checkered flag is finished, right, we're packing away, it all moves away, doesn't it?
That's correct. Well, we're going to have the drivers here in the podium celebration. We're already going to start pulling some concrete blocks and debris fences from the other side of the track. And probably we're going to have certain public roads already open and ready for normal operations. I think based on our experience from last year, we should be fully done towards the end of January and ready to welcome another year here in Grand Prix Plaza in Las Vegas Grand Prix. But don't be sad, you will be back in 12
we'll
months.
We'll be back next year.
Back next year with exciting news. F1 Academy here joining us as a final round for next year. So we're very excited and can't wait for 25 either.
The 2025 F1 Academy season finale will be right here in Vegas next year. What an event that's going to be. Sylvia, I just want to congratulate you and your team on this, because it's the first time I've been to the Las Vegas Grand Prix, and honestly, sort of shoehorning Formula One into this part of the world where so many exciting things are going on, and it takes so much to put on an F1 Grand Prix. And you just said then, proving that the impossible is possible. If you'd had said to me before I'd come here, or before I saw the race on the TV last year, that F1 could do something in a place like Vegas, you'd never have believed it. It shows how far the sport's come. So congratulations to you and your team, because it's a phenomenal achievement.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to all of you to enjoy the Las Vegas Grand Prix. My favorite moment, it's always when I see that first helicopter shot and I see how gorgeous Vegas looks and how much people can appreciate how exciting it's coming here to Vegas. So for those who are local, hope they also enjoy the race. We're having more and more fans. And for those ones visiting like you, hope we're having you back and that you enjoy our race.
If you have me back, I'll be back next year. Trust me. Sylvia, thank you so much for joining us on F1 Explained. It's been such a pleasure talking to you here on Turn 1 of the Las Vegas Grand Prix circuit.
Thank you so much.
And we will be answering your questions that you've been sending to F1Explained@F1.com about the Vegas Grand Prix in just a moment's time.
You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar, the better tasting, more refreshing Zero Sugar Cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.
Yep, we hear you. Let's get you some beautiful windows that won't warp at warp speed. Durable, weather-friendly Vibrix windows and a seamless professional process. A free, no-pressure renewal by Andersen consultation is just a call or click away. When it's time to talk windows, we'll bring the wisdom. Renewal by Andersen.
Welcome back to F1 Explains. I'm Katie Osborne, and we are here at the Las Vegas Grand Prix answering your questions on this race like no other. Christian, first and foremost, can we just really give kind of the picture as to what we see? I see purple, I see blue, I see red, I see lots of lights here in the Grand Prix Plaza.
Sums it up really, really well. It's, as you said at the top of the episode, Katie, it's like a paddock, but supercharged. So it's much bigger and much wider. The teams have got temporary bases, which are, of course, because it's Vegas, are luminously lit up. And we're very grateful for this, by the way. There's flame heaters throughout the paddock because it's cold at night time here in Vegas.
Did that surprise you that it was going to be cold? Did you pack appropriately?
I had been suitably warned by everybody who had been here last year. I wasn't here last year. I'd been told you need to pack clothes. Yeah. So it's amazing. It, as you say, so many different colours, so many places for people to hang out. An amazing thing. And speaking of amazing things, just before the break, fantastic to speak to Sylvia as well, Katie.
Yeah, dynamic woman.
Oh,
unbelievable
such a dynamic
background.
Woman. Yeah. And so across the details of everything. She was so impressive. She knew exactly what was going on where. She knew exactly the logistics into it. Because as we've been saying throughout this podcast, it's just amazing that normally when a Grand Prix comes to town, it's the biggest thing in town. And of course, F1 feels like one of the big things in town, but you've got Adele doing her residency. You've got Vegas in itself. And the fact that F1 just comes into it and just coexist with it all. It's spectacular, and the logistics around that is amazing.
It's unbelievable. I can't fathom. You know, we've talked on the show about being a fly on the wall in some meetings and talk about the schedule and the calendar or whatever else. I cannot imagine the planning and the processing that these people have had to do and sitting in those meetings as a fly on the wall. Where do you even begin?
There's been some meetings, I can tell you. Well, this is the podcast where you can ask us anything you like about F1. F1 Explained at F1.com is the email address, or you can use the hashtag F1 Explained on social media. Katie, what have people been asking?
Lots. But Dawn in New York asked, who designs the layout of the track here in Vegas? And Christian, I think you're probably a pretty good person to answer that.
We can answer some questions. Yeah, well, the Las Vegas Strip Circuit was designed by a company called Tilka. That'll be a name familiar to people who've been around F1 for a long time because they've designed many other F1 circuits in the calendar, including Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, Baku in Azerbaijan, plenty more as well. Now, Katie, they worked with F1 to come up with a design using, as we said with Sylvia earlier, 3 miles of public road and 0.8 miles of purpose-built track around the starting grid in turns 1, 2, and 3.
What I think is really fascinating about Tilka is the fact that they designed many tracks that are standalone as themselves. Yep. And coming here to Vegas, the different set of challenges that they took on. They said, hey, accepting the challenge, we're going to design and build something that's not designed necessarily all
unique
year round for that. Right.
Yeah. And one of those challenges was creating overtaking opportunities. They succeeded loads of overtaking last year. Now, the only part of the track that isn't public road is the pit straight and the first couple of corners. So that's land owned by F1. The corners around the sphere are also on private land, but the section on the Las Vegas Strip itself that goes past the hotels, the casinos, the fountains, the replica Eiffel Tower, those roads which are used every day by traffic when the race isn't happening, they are completely public roads.
You know, it kind of takes me back a little bit to the conversation that we had way back when, Christian, about, I think it was Monaco, right? And how the city streets at night, and that's not the same here, right? But they would be bars, they'd find glass and debris and other aspects. The cleanup efforts that it must have taken to get the roads ready after people have been in the streets. And I think that would have been really fascinating to hear.
Every day of the race weekend, once the track actions stop, they move some of the track barriers aside, open the roads back up to regular traffic, and then reverse the process when it's time to go racing again. And as Sylvia said, they do it in about 2 hours. It's unbelievable.
Can't even imagine. Well, we have more questions. Next up, it's Brandon, who wants to know about the track surface and why asphalt is used instead of concrete. And that's actually an interesting question, because I think in a lot of different forms of motorsport, there's that question of why do you do asphalt? Why do you do concrete? Why does that matter?
Absolutely. The simple answer is asphalt can cope with higher G-forces than concrete. So F1 cars put the track under so much stress, and asphalt can cope with cars doing 190 miles per hour around corners without cracking or deforming, and it also provides good levels of grip and also can be laid very smoothly, because in an F1 car you don't want bumpy roads. Now, before the first race in Vegas, they actually removed the top surface of those public roads and replaced it with F1 standard asphalt. So all throughout the year, they're driving on high quality F1
That's
track.
That's right. Nowhere else in the world, really, for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, and street sweepers will probably go around the track before the racing this weekend to make sure the surface doesn't have debris on it. Now, those roads were resurfaced before the first race here in 2023, just to make sure they can cope with those G-forces. And interestingly, the actual makeup of the track, the actual materials, are slightly different in slightly different places across the circuit, and that means the grip levels can be different around the track. So what a challenge for the drivers.
Well, challenge for the drivers, but really a challenge for the teams, right? They're the ones setting up the cars. They have to figure out where within a track the driver is the most comfortable and hope for the best. And also, I think it's really interesting to have different track surfaces because it was a clean notebook for everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what to expect, right? So even now, a couple of years in, it's still a learning game of understanding what are these surfaces, where do they happen, how does it affect a car, and it's not like the long-standing history like a lot of other tracks. And teams have to adapt quickly to make it make sense for the driver and the car itself. Lastly, Justin in Kentucky would like to know about the barriers used to keep drivers safe if they do crash.
Well, yeah, barriers are so important. In fact, we're planning to do a whole episode on them next year. But the quick answer is that different types of barrier are used depending on the part of the racetrack and depending on the speed and angle of a potential crash. So here in Vegas, the fastest corner is the final corner. It's a left-hander where the cars can hit about 195 miles per hour. Huge, huge speeds. Now, a special type of barrier called a safer barrier is used on the outside of the track there. It's made of steel with inserts made of specialised foam inside it. And basically, it's designed to sort of consume, dissipate the energy from a crash and also to send a car sliding along the length of the barrier rather than coming to a sudden stop on impact. That sort of spreads out the force, if that makes sense. It slows it down more gently and stops the car bouncing back into the middle of the track where it could cause problems. And Katie, it's not just here that they're used. Safer barriers are used at several other high-speed corners here in Vegas and at other F1 tracks. Every single inch of the circuit is protected by barriers. There's more than 7 miles of them here in Vegas. Unbelievable. Imagine putting them in a line.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking about those people who stay up late in the middle of the night who have to lay those suckers out. My gosh.
They're designed to protect the driver, the marshals, and the fans.
Yeah, no, that's extremely important. And as you had mentioned earlier, that is one of the key goals, if not the key goal, other than just having a good old-fashioned time in Las Vegas for the Grand Prix, is the safety of the drivers. Teams, fans, and everybody else alike.
Yeah, and you mentioned those fans. We couldn't give you all this information about the Las Vegas Grand Prix and not ask some of the lovely people here what they make of it, could we? What are your names, guys?
Sam.
Connor.
Guys, what is it like watching Formula One cars in front of you on the streets of Las Vegas?
It's surreal. I've been watching this for God knows how long, and oh my, it's insane to see them in person. It's actually insane.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's just surreal seeing them, watching them grow up and then seeing them in person. It's crazy.
You've talked about seeing the cars, but what do you reckon to the spectacle of the whole event?
It's actually really insane. Yeah, I've been driving, like earlier this year, I was driving, they were setting everything up. I was like, what is going on? And then I realized they were setting up for F1 and said, no, that it's coming here, that an event that I've been watching for so long, that it's coming here. I was super excited to come.
Oh yeah, it's just surreal. I have no words. The lighting, it's all beautiful, everything.
And also, with the Grand Prix Plaza being around, there's going to be permanently F1 stuff on site. There's going to be karting, there's going to be an exhibition and museum, so there'll always be F1 in this part of the world.
And that's what I love. And the fact that I'm able to experience F1 no matter what time of year, right? You know, whether that's watching it or, you know, going to actually seeing events or, like you said, going to see, you know, the exhibitions, going karting, which, you know, doing stuff that I love, that I've been, you know, that I've practically grew up with.
I'm Belle.
I'm Brianna.
And where are you from?
Here. From Vegas. Actually.
It's absolutely insane. Like, I never thought I'd be here.
It's the best. I love F1, and being here is amazing. But I love watching them and seeing which cars are going fastest.
It's crazy just hearing the sound. Like, we're talking right now, and I'm so distracted.
You're allowed to be distracted by F1 cars. That's absolutely fine. What do you make to F1 coming to your hometown, to it, the way it takes over Vegas? What do you think of it?
I love it. There's so many events in Vegas, and F1 is so unique in the way it just takes over the streets. It's amazing to have it here.
And you can already get your tickets for next year.
We have not. We have to. I'm trying to get her.
We got good tickets.
We're big Lewis fans. So I'm saying, like, if we're here for his last Mercedes race and then here for his first Ferrari race, I think, come on. Come on.
All right, I'm in.
They're in, guys. They're in. Well, Katie, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Sure was. Every time we're at a racetrack together, Christian, it's a lot of fun. That's it from F1 Explains this week. Don't forget to listen to the review of the Las Vegas Grand Prix over on F1's other podcast, F1 Nation. And if you want to remind yourself what happened at last year's race, which is often a good idea, check out the highlights on F1 TV or over at F1's YouTube channel.
We are back, as ever, with a new episode every Friday. And send us your question on Formula One, or questions plural. Send as many as you like. Whether you're a new fan or you've been watching for decades, whether it's a tiny question, something more complicated, whatever you like, send it us. F1explains@f1.com. We'll be answering your questions this season and into 2025 too.
But from us, Christian Hugel, and myself, Katie Osborne, in Las Vegas, thanks for listening. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar, the better tasting, more refreshing Zero Sugar Cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothes with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar, the better tasting, more refreshing Zero Sugar Cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.